Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is cyber station, USA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Total Celebrity segment. And I am excited for my guest today, and I'm excited to welcome to the program. First, I'm going to let my two NFL guests introduce your producer. It's going to be a lot of discussion about Behind the Mask podcast. Great idea, great opportunity again in the podcast world to really look at NFL athletes and what is behind the mask, because the mask does cover a lot of things. So I'm excited to welcome the program Takeo Spikes, Tutan Reyes, and also Stanley Steps. Guys, thanks for calling. How are you guys?
Doing well.
I appreciate you having us on.
All right, so let's go first question about kind of jumping back to their careers real quick with Tutan and also Takeo, and kind of go into specifically enough the end of your biggest memories of your NFL career. Let's go with you first.
Some of my biggest memories. God, I remember getting drafted. I will tell you this, the first memory that really stands out was we played a preseason game in Atlanta. I grew up here in the state of Georgia, and walking inside of that locker room, that was the first time me being drafted with the Cincinnati Bengals, walking inside of that locker room to play against the Falcons, that was the first time I really saw stripes on the helmet, the pants, the everything was pristine, clean. The helmet didn't have any scars or scratches on it. And that's when I realized, I was like, man, like, mama, I made it. I made it. And I'm about to go out here and show out. So, hell, I didn't play all of that well. That was my first preseason game. I didn't do anything that, Neil, you would want to report on, put it that way. But it was a great first outing for me.
For sure. It's feeling that crowd, feeling the energy of being on the field and being part of something. It's amazing compared to college, right, Takeo?
Yeah, it is, though, you know, because, you know, the response you get from so many people is, you know, when you talk about college, people look at college as if, hey, it's more authentic when it comes to genuine play. I think it's more of a fan retention, more loyalty from the fans, but I just think overall, the college game and the pro game is totally different for obvious reasons, but it's one thing about the professional league that I really enjoyed is understanding that the season comes into 16 games to everybody else. But as a player, when you play, it's broken up into four quarters.
Yes.
Each quarter consists of four games. And so when you look at it like that, it really – I never looked at soap operas growing up. But okay, That's exactly what an NFL season is like, a soap opera, when you look at it from the inside of the emotional highs and the emotional lows.
Now, Tutan, same question for you.
Well, I think, obviously, like Keel said, just getting drafted, that was a great moment for me. I think I go back to my first preseason game, and the funny part was I got drafted by the Saints in the fifth round. My first preseason game was against the New York Jets, and I'm from New York. So I'm getting ready to go back home, and this is 2000, you know, I didn't have a huge sign of bonus or anything like that, But the vets had the rookies get chicken or Popeyes for the plane. So I remember I'm going back to New York and all these people want to go to this game. I got like some 30 some odd tickets. And I'm telling my mother, I'm like, nah, ma, I ain't about to pay for all these tickets. So you got to go. And this is back in, we didn't have no Cash App or nothing like that. So this is Western Union.
Right.
So I'm like, everybody that wants a ticket, they got a Western Union, you this money, and then we'll get the tickets, right? So all this is going on before the game, is preseason, and I completely forgot to get the ticket. So I get on this plane, man, the Spice will tell you, they got this thing, they call it the gauntlet. When you walking down the aisle of this plane and everybody's looking at your suit, they seeing if you, you know, how you dressed, and they ready to talk about you and just crack jokes on you. But I'm walking down the gauntlet, and I'm on the phone with my moms, and I don't have any chicken. So I got these vets like, hey, Rook, where's the chicken? Where's the chicken? You know, and I'm like, you know, hold on, I'm on the phone. Nah, it's the phone, man. Where the chicken at? I'm like, yo, chill, like, just relax. So they start cursing me out. This one particular guy starts cursing me out. Yo, fuck that. Where the hell is the chicken at? I said, I'm on the phone with my moms, man. Y'all some millionaires. Y'all get your own damn chicken when we get to New York. So I sit down thinking, like, man, I really just barked on some veterans, but what I did was get the respect of the main guy, like the Willie Rose and the Cobb Turleys. I got the respect of the older veterans because I didn't back down to this guy that I actually was competing for a roster spot with. So that was one of my first memories. And obviously playing in New York, my first game was just amazing, playing back home. One of the only people from New York City in the city to actually make it to the NFL at that time. So that was the greatest experience for me.
So, Takeo, I wanted just to quick only a little bit about the NFL, but life after the NFL, and then how you guys hooked up to start the podcast is where we're going to go next, because we're really going to focus a lot on the podcasting questions. I'm going to throw you guys out there in certain ways because you're new to this industry. I'm in the radio podcasting industry for about, it'll be 10 years. It was 10 years on December 6th, so I understand specifically now writing for Podcast Magazine to kind of ask other hosts different questions. It's very interesting. But Takeo, when your career ended, did you have an idea what you wanted life after to be?
Yeah, I had a strong idea of what I wanted life to be after football. When I was playing, I was a media darling. Everybody knew if you really want to get something good, you come over here to Spike's locker and put a microphone in front of his face and just, let's just talk, you know? And that's what I went into. So, you know, for me, it started from a range of things. When I went back to school and I got my MBA, actually me and Two-Time, we went together and graduated from the University of Miami, the Hurricanes, even though they got beat down.
Yeah.
But, that's, you know, that's where it all started. And I created my book, Behind the Mask. And the Behind the Mask, what my book is about was I wanted to share certain stories with the public and let everybody know that regardless of whatever profession you may be in, whatever your livelihood may be, whatever you do, everybody has a mask. And so with that, I was like, you know what? I want to go behind the mask and tell these short, intimate stories of how did guys become great? What were their trials and tribulations? And so I did that, and that led to a few years after that, I was doing some work with Sirius XM, NBC, and I was like, you know what, why am I just continuing to do things for other people versus building up my own brand? After we went back to school and got our MBA, Tuton and I, we came together and we were talking, and we was just like, you know what, if you wait to start tomorrow, you'll never start. So we were like, you know what? Boom. This year, we'll start the podcast off of the same premise of the Behind the Mask book. And that's exactly what we did. And we've been able to bring some phenomenal guests on of guys sharing real, true stories.
And that's great. And we're going to get right into that. And we're going to break it down in more ways. Get ready for the questions, Takeo and Tutan. Let's go right quickly into specifically the same question for you. Regarding life after football.
Yeah, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. My career was kind of winding down in 2009. I wasn't starting anymore. So I kind of already had a little bit of knowledge of what I wanted to do, what I wanted to get into. I had a few businesses that I owned a restaurant. But Spice and I, Takeo and I, we both jumped into media shortly after we retired as well. So it was almost a natural progression, you know. As he said, we kind of talked about it. He had the book, and I helped. We partnered, I should say, on a fundraiser with the book through my charity Beyond the Burrows, and we saw the response that we were getting. And I remember this conversation. I said, Tequila, man, I said, look at the arenas that we're moving in, even after football. This is years after we both retired. I said, we got the Wall Street guys. We got the athletes. We still have the people that followed us while we were playing, the media. Everybody was still coming to these events that we were hosting. And the premise of this particular one was behind the mask. And as he said, everybody has a mask, right? For football, for hockey, we use it for protection. But in real life, you even have a mask. You know, when you first meet someone, you don't give them your all. You actually have a front up until you feel like you can, you know what, I can trust this person. I can let them in a little bit further. So everybody does have a mask in some aspect. And it was like, it was so just natural and authentic. And when we both decided that we weren't going to do college football broadcasting this year, we're like, hey, the time is now. As Tequila said, why not start it now? So we just jumped in and just called all the resources, the same people that supported us and everything that we've done during the league and after the league. We said, hey, this is our new project right now. Behind the Mask podcast is the next step from Tequila's book in between his two books that he has coming out. And the response has just been overwhelming. You've seen some of the incredible guests we've had on there. We started off with Robbie White. We got Jamal Lewis on there. Who else we have, Tequila? We have Megatron came on. So we have so many just amazing guests. Calvin Johnson. So many amazing guests that have came on. And then not only that, some of the other players are like, you know what? Why haven't you gotten us on yet? Like, other players really want to get on and tell their story, and they want to go to Behind the Mask with us. So with that being said, we can't wait for 2020. We're ready to continue this thing and just, you know, continue to knock it out the park.
And it's well produced. So go ahead and introduce your producer. Whoever wants to introduce the producer, then I'll ask him some questions in the background, because I like it. Because, again, when we bring podcasts out, we think, you know, radio. And but then the way you guys are doing this video wise is just very well done, very professionally done. It's something I don't think that Tequila and Tutan, you guys could spend hours upon hours editing and making it seem so perfect and so well done music wise and everything. So introduce your producer.
Well, our producer is Stanley needs no introduction, because he got it all covered. He got it all covered. But Stanley and I, we actually met. It was at Morehouse College, and it was during Super Bowl of last year, and he was doing some production things with Chris Broussard of ESPN. There was a lot of basketball talks, and so, you know, him and I, we met each other, but we actually bumped into each other later that year, earlier this year. And we were just talking about, like, you know, what am I into and what was he into? And he was telling me about a few things that he had going on. I was telling him about what Tutan and I was getting ready to do. And then it just kind of came up like, you know what, well, let's talk about the possibility of collaborating with each other to see, can we make it that much bigger, since we both had the same thing in mind as far as, you know what, saying, hey, we're here, this is our product, and you got to come see us because it's quality content.
And that's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Stanley Stitz.
Stanley. So, Stanley, great. Again, I introduced you at the beginning of the show, but then we kind of got off talking to the both of the guys. Now, what did you?
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Do you see the potential to Keo and Tutan that you said, hey, you know, I got to do this. This is something I got.
No, I just I'm humbled. I'm humbled that, you know, they let me into their world. And really we're all producers. Like each and every one of us are executive producing this project. And so, you know, when I ran into Keo, I did not know the legend of Keo Spikes when I first met him. Super Bowl week. Down in Georgia. I'm a native of Kalamazoo, Michigan. So I was just down in town and we ran into each other. And I would say we had a chance encounter in late August. We were hanging out and I saw this guy and didn't even remember his name, saw him across the room. And I was like, let me go reintroduce myself. And so we got to talking and like Tequila mentioned, just caught up on what each other were working on. And so for me, I had started a production company for television, film, digital content about a year prior, really focused on telling stories. You know, everyone has a story to tell. And when Takeo mentioned, you know, Behind the Mask, his book, and then the podcast, you know, it was just one of those things when, you know, someone mentioned something they have going on, it just clicked, like, I've got to be a part. I've got to be a part of this. I don't know what role I'll play, but I want to help you bring this thing to fruition. And so that's really how we started. I think it was Takeo, what was it? Two, maybe 3 weeks later, we were producing the first episode of Roddy White. So, I mean, we pulled it together.
So, Stanley, it helped that these guys both have television experience in the media and also radio experience in the media to get this started with each guest. The way you looked at how they booked the guest and you put it all together to make it look what it needs to look like, right? They already have the ability on camera and television and radio, that helps a lot, doesn't it? To start with.
It does. Not, I think it, if when people watch and listen to our content, it speaks a lot to, this has all been about relationship. You know, we, of course, obviously we're a business together, but you know, our relationship has developed as producers. I feel that we've grown as friends. And then even our guests that we come on, when you listen to them and their rapport, is not like your traditional suit and tie interview. Stories you never heard of. And, you know, with Takeo and Tutan, how long they played in the league. It's just, we're all having a great time. Like, even with in the studio filming, I wish we could show behind the scenes because we're all in there cracking up, you know, having a good time and putting out great content. So it doesn't even feel like work.
Now, Tutan, what is the biggest struggle for you? You know, you've been in the media, you've done radio and television, you've interviewed people as well throughout that time. What's the difference of it being your own and interviewing your first guest?
Well, I think it's more, like Stan said, it's not as, suit and tie. You know, we can actually just freely flow and be ourselves. And when you have these relationships with the guests that come on, it's not an interview. It's more of a conversation piece. you know, and that just lends it to being so much more authentic, so much more to the point. We always say on the Behind the Mask podcast, there's only one rule. There are no rules.
There are no rules.
There are no rules. So we just go at it with the guests that we have on the show, and they love that. They appreciate that. Whereas if they were going to a media platform that we've been on in the past, they wouldn't give you those same stories. They wouldn't give you the same details of those same stories as they do with Tequila and me and myself. So I love it, and I think it's better for us now than it was. So the difficulties may have been getting the interviews in the past, being on a certain platform when you had to stay within the line of scrimmage, or you had to stay within the boundaries. But right now, you know, we can go out of bounds and still have those same conversations and get after it. And that's what I love about it.
And to, you know, the problem is that the sound bites are what they're looking for when you guys do media, even interviewing current players, right? This is so that's where you had that vision, right, of the book and how you were able to tell stories about you as a player and other players as the book, and said, I see this vision with this show that'll make it unlike other shows, in the fact that I really want to know the true person I'm interviewing, not just this, well, what the producers want at the station or what they want today's news, compared to something that can live on.
Yeah. And Neil, you're exactly right. You will be surprised, not you, because I mean, you're very seasoned and you are like one of the best, like for real, but you will be surprised for all the listeners. If sometimes if you walk into a conversation and you just say the first statement that comes out of your mouth, let's go behind the mask, pull down your mask and let's talk. You will be surprised how much information you would receive from that other person. Immediately, that's what I saw when I created the book, and I went around for 2 years and visited with some of the greatest linebackers that ever played the game, and I got their story. And listen, the outtakes were just as good as the intakes,
right?
You know, and so when I looked at that, and then, you know, Tutan and myself were one of my best friends, but we talked about it for so long, and then when we finally did it, the thing that really jumped out, that really came afloat, was like, we could sit on here and we could talk about games, we could talk about scores, and of course people want to hear our version because it's us. It's very unique. We played the game for a long period of time, both playing 10 years or more, but they know they can get a unique message. And the thing that really, I think, what separates us, though, Neil, that people really love and we get a lot of feedback on, is we discuss a range of topics,
yes,
including fatherhood, relationships, business ventures, social issues, and just untold stories, as something as small as Roddy White was talking about on his draft day. A lot of his relatives were calling, and some of the food that he was eating on his draft day, you know, just barbecue stories, you know, like Christmas time, when you get around the table with your family for that few times out of the year, you catch up on everything. And that's exactly what we bring to the table.
And Stanley, I hate the fact then of radio shows or podcasts, they're so scripted. You think I have questions up in my head to prepare, but it's based on your answers, and I want you guys just to go with the flow. If we had longer time to talk, I'm sure we could talk for hours about all of our entrepreneurial ventures and how much we are so passionate about what we do as creators. So Stanley, that's probably what you saw in Tequio and also Tutan, is that, yeah, wow, these guys really can get things out of superstar athletes that not many people are going to be able to do. And this is going to be so great because they're professionals, they've been in the media, but yet now they can take it and break it really down so that people really get to learn their stories.
Right. Yeah. And it was one of those things, I say, after that first interview with Roddy White, and again, just seeing their rapport with one another, and more than that, just to see the guests, you know, see how excited they are to share their story. One of the interviews that, you know, we've enjoyed all of them, but having Jamal Lewis on, and you've got these legendary players, these guys that have done, you know, remarkable feats on the field, you know, of course, at some point shortly after retiring, they shared their stories, but, you know, in some ways, forgotten athletes. You know what I'm saying? That, yes. You know, they've got the highlights, they've got the record books, but sometimes people forget, like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. And so we had Jamal on, and Jamal talked about, you know, his time in prison. Like, it was one of those things you forgot about. And, you know, he was able to relive that experience. And just knowing that the content that we're putting out is, you know, providing something for others, for our listeners, whether you played or you're just a fan, that is helping to transform other people's lives as well. So it's just exciting all around to, you know, just see the rapport and see all these stories come back to life.
All right, Takiyo, how long does it take you to prepare your side of that guest to prepare for the interview?
Oh, or this just the questioning, or is it just the booking?
Let's talk about all of it. That's a great podcasting question, because guess what? I'm great at booking celebrities. I'm great at booking anybody. As you talk about seasoned, I've interviewed over close to 10,000 people in 10 years in radio and television/radio. And I know how to go out and book people, but you're great. How much time? Because I think a lot of athletes could be listening saying, I can do what Takiyo does. I'm going to do my own podcast. And everyone says they want to do one. So how long is the preparation time?
Preparation is, to be honest with you, and this is no joke, Neil, I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing on my mind, and it's the last thing on my mind before I close my eyes at night. A lot of it has to do with, I spend several hours out of the day confirming the guest. Several hours out of the day reconfirming that the guest really did confirm, making sure, like, okay, I know things come up, but you can't be leaving us out to dry, bro, like, for real. And then it's more so, then it goes into the aspect of spending continuous time right before the guest comes on. Usually happens within a 24 to 48 hour time period. I send all of the clips to them so they can have an idea of what they're going to expect. Just, you know, we believe in complete transparency. And when they see it, they get excited. Then they want to come back and ask all of the questions that they probably should have asked 3 to 4 days prior to that. So that takes a little time. And then the other part is for me, which I love doing, but I hate doing at the same time, is Tutan and I, you know, we both kind of come up and conjugate our own questioning, but Tutan more so handles that part. But I like to do a hard background search on a lot of the guys to make sure that we're not missing out on anything, so I can feel the pulse of it and be able to ask those type of questions to where they may venture off and go into something about their hometown. At least I'm prepared and I know something about their hometown, and it brings out another great question that most radio hosts or even on TV can't ask just because. So I would probably say from a timing perspective, oh God, I probably spend at least 30 to 35 hours a week doing something with the podcast.
That's
business side, production side, everything.
That's so true. And that's so true. And I hate the word, and I'm a fan of podcasts, especially writing for Podcast Magazine. But ultimately, not everyone can do a podcast, a real good podcast. Right. And everyone can do their own radio show or television show. It takes so much time and effort. And if you don't make it a profession for yourself, that this is a business, this is another business, and it's a passion.
Yes.
You cannot be successful at this, because you'll show up, you'll interview anybody, you won't promote it, you won't do all the things necessary to make it a success. So, Tutan, I'm going to ask the same question to you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know why, Takiyo, in my opinion, why Takiyo and I flow so well off each other is because he's so detail-oriented in everything he does in life, and I'm just out there. I'm like, it's gonna happen. I believe in divine and it's gonna happen. He'll be like, two, come on, reply to this email or do such and such. You know, we gotta go. We ain't got but 5 minutes left. And I'm like, Spice, relax, man. We got a whole 5 minutes left. But we good. I'm the guy who was taking our MBA I was cramming to the last minute, and you know, and then whatever comes out still is that quality content. But to Tequila's point, we literally spend hours upon hours researching the guests, finding out previous stories that they've talked about or that they shied away from, things about their kids, go on their social media, find out.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
You know, what are their charities? What are their business ventures? Anything, you name it, we literally go in depth and try to find, or we find different aspects of that guest to make them want to expound on a simple question. Anybody can give an interview or ask a question, but how do you get that answer to be drawn out and to cover a specific amount of time on a podcast? Now, we want to keep them anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, but you know, these questions, you have to get detailed answers. You don't want closed, you know, what happened when you got, did you enjoy when you got drafted in the NFL? Yes. Nah, you want some detail. We want some meat on the bone. That's why he says you want some meat on the bone. So we really go in depth, nonstop, and find out what makes these guys tick. We go behind the mask. And then with that, and even with that concept, with that analogy, it allows these guests to be able to present that on the podcast to show the world exactly what they're going to. And then when you watch it, you really get to see it. You get to see their face. You get to see their excitement. You get to see why they enjoy coming on the show with us.
And that's the watching part of it, especially people listen, but the watching, that this is so well done. This looks like NFL films or something. This is no joke kind of production. It's awesome production. I mean, that's the first thing when your team contacted me to interview you guys, and that was just for a reason with the relationship I have with them before not even looking at Podcast Magazine to write this for Podcast Magazine. And then when I saw how well this is done, so let's talk about that, Stanley. Did you research other podcasts before doing this venture with them, especially sports podcasts of NFL players that are doing podcasts themselves right now, to kind of give these guys hints of how they could differentiate themselves from other podcasters?
I didn't, because I didn't want to risk, you know, us going into this and, you know, kind of pulling from others and what has been done before. I think, you know, the biggest thing for me was just stressing authenticity. You know, getting behind, of course, you know, I've seen the other interviews, first television, the suit and tie type of stuff on different networks. I felt from my conversations initially with Takiyo about, you know, wanting to do the podcast was just reiterated over and over, behind the mask, stories that people haven't heard, you know, relation, people experiencing just true stories of what's going on in their lives. And so that's what I continue to, you know, focus on each and every bit, you know, when we approach actually producing the actual episodes, is just authenticity. It's going to be the content. You know, we could film, and we ended up, you know, we have a studio in Atlanta that we've produced at. We've produced at two different locations. We've gone on the road with the podcast. I don't know if you've seen this, Nia, but we've produced episodes in London. You know, in these few months, we've done a lot. And so it doesn't matter where we are in the production of the podcast. It's all about the content. So that's really been our focus, is just that authenticity.
Takiyo, what is your goal for the podcast? Where do you want to see it go? Again, this is the first year. I think people, as I said, that I like the fact that your style, that you guys play off of each other. And that's very important. It's fun. It's a great conversation. You take some of these quick little things that are really well done on the NFL shows before that show like 2 minutes of a story and make it a 45 minutes to an hour of what you wish they could be telling in that process of going out and visiting and stuff. But where do you want to see it go?
I mean, ultimately, Neil, you know, we see ourselves as being syndicated one day. You know, having the ability or the opportunity at the minimum to be syndicated, knowing that we're pushing out quality content with great guests that people from all different fields can relate to. And ultimately, what we would like to do and be known for is what Tutan said earlier, every athlete, every person has a mask. And we would love to be that go-to place to where you come and sit down with Tutan and Takiyo, and we're going to take you behind the mask. I'm going to start that conversation off. Pull down the mask. Let's go behind the mask and just be that place for every athlete and every person of status to come to, so we can inspire other people, because people need to hear these messages. People need to hear these stories. Some of these stories have never been told before, just because they don't feel comfortable sharing those stories on certain platforms.
Yes.
And or they understand that, you know what, what these guys are doing is something that I thought about doing but never started. So why not bless these guys with the story to be able to go out and inspire and motivate everybody else? So the sky's the limit. You know, it's a lot of things. We sit around and we talk about so many things that what we can see it going into. So it's a great question.
Tutan, what about yourself? The same question for you.
Yeah, similar to what Takiyo said. We want to be that go-to place, that space that the guests, the athletes, the entertainers, the people that come on say, you know what, I want to get on this show because I can actually express myself unfiltered. I know these guys got my back. They're not going to put me out there in any kind of way. It's not going to be edited and just for a quick sound bite or a quick, you know, clickbait or something like that. Quick example, when Calvin Johnson did an interview, one of his first interviews, I believe, after he retired. He's been out the league for several years, and he was supposed to be our first guest, but he wound up doing an interview for, I believe, Sports Illustrated. And when we saw the article, we were like, this is not even told from his perspective. It's like told from the perspective of the person doing the interview. And we're like, that's not us. We actually not allowed, but we encourage the guests to give their side of the story. You know, just like we know, Neil, when you're dealing with these networks and everything, they edit the clips to make the story sell, as opposed to letting the guests tell the story how they want it told. And I think that's the difference in the Behind the Mask podcast, and that's why we enjoy doing it so much. But as Spike said, the sky's the limit. It matters, the sky's not the limit. It's just the view. This thing can go global. And clearly we went to London. We did the podcast in London. As Stan said, we've done a podcast live from the plains in Auburn University when Auburn played Ole Miss. And unfortunately, Ole Miss lost to Spike's Auburn Tigers, but that's not the word. But yeah, it can go so many different directions, and we've proven that we can be successful in this space as long as we stick to our script, and the guests love it. And I'm excited for 2020. I can't lie to you, Neil.
All right, again, Podcast Magazine. Again, we'll have the article under the sports section of the first ever Podcast Magazine, and also we'll have this out in syndication. So quickly, best place we can connect with everyone. Stanley, where can we follow you? And then we'll go with Keo and Tutan real quick.
Yeah, social media, just at Stanley M. Steps on all platforms.
Awesome. Takeo?
And for me, you can follow me at TakeoSpikes51. And obviously, once you click the link in the bio, you'll see at the BTM podcast.
And same for Tutan.
At Tutan Reyes, TutanReyes. There's only one Tutan comment out there. That's me, your favorite plus size model. You'll see me there. Click the link in the bio. Follow the BTM podcast as well on all social media platforms and wherever you get your favorite podcast at.
All right. Well, sounds good, guys. Thanks for calling, and best of luck. And I'll shoot you some more questions if I need to get any more for Podcast Magazine. Everyone needs to check out the first and subscribe to Podcast Magazine, and also check me out on all social media platforms. Thanks for calling, guys, and take care.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Neil.
Okay, bye. You listen to the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited about our guest today. I love talking sports, and I love Triumph Books, and we're going to talk Packers today. And as a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, one of the biggest sad things was the Packers beating us in the Super Bowl. And I have talked to a couple Packer players about that awesome memory, but I'm excited to welcome the program author Jason Wilde, author of The Big 50, Green Bay Packers, The Men and Moments That Made the Green Bay Packers. Jason, thanks for calling. How are you?
Oh, Neil, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it, buddy.
You know, I just, when I think Green Bay Packers, you think tradition. Between us and this, and meaning Pittsburgh Steelers and Green Bay Packers, it is the true tradition of professional football. And the NFL, those two travel everywhere you go, right? They're Packer fans at every stadium, as there are Steeler fans at every stadium. It's one place that they people from the Milwaukee area and Green Bay area, they basically always end up relocating, just kind of like Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, it's really remarkable how both those team fan bases travel. And obviously, when you play each other in a Super Bowl like the Packers and Steelers did in 2010, you really got a feeling, I'll never forget this, being around Dallas that week, of how similar those fan bases are. You know, there's certainly a blue-collar element to a lot of the fans. They're passionate. They love their team. They live and die with their teams. And that's not always the case with all NFL fan bases. And so, you know, the fact that they put their money where their fandom is, right, with whether it's how many jerseys they own or how willing they are to spend their travel budget of their family to go to games in different cities. It's really remarkable how supportive both those teams are. And, you know, obviously for much of my career, I covered a guy who was from Pittsburgh and who grew up a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, who brought what Ted Thompson called Pittsburgh macho to Green Bay.
Yes.
And that was Mike McCarthy, who obviously had a bunch of success here in his 13-year run as the head coach.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about your background really quick, Jason, getting into this interview, because we do have some time. I love having a producer because I just can enjoy asking questions I might not have the time for in my normal studio type days. But tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, this is year 26 for me on the beat. I started out as a backup and really kind of learning the ropes of covering the NFL. The great thing is when you've been doing it this long and covering three different Super Bowl teams, and you just accumulate so many stories and so much experience. I don't like to think of myself as an old guy, because when I started out, I was lucky to be a really young guy. But the institutional knowledge and the things you get to see during your time being on a beat, you know, and covering a team year in and year out and being at every game, you just have such a great feel for the history that you're just fortunate to be there to chronicle. And so I've been really lucky to be able to do this for as long as I have. I hope I get to do it for another 20 plus years. But, you know, there's been great seasons for the Packers. There's been down seasons during my time, but there's also been some really compelling seasons that didn't end in Super Bowl titles, but certainly ended in unforgettable games and things that I got to see that I think anyone who believes that sports are a very valuable part of our society and mean a lot to a lot of people, it was cool to be able to be a part of it.
Definitely, it seems like it was cool to be part of that type of thing in the tradition. We talk about the Roonies, and we'll get into the Big 50, and I'm going to try to come up with what I think when you talk about Packers and what you wrote about in the book. But when you talk about organizations, you talk about the Steeler organization with the Roonies. What being part of the Packer organization, do they have that kind of same family feel with the owners of the Packers?
They do, and you know, the beauty of it is obviously they're community-owned, that they sell stock to that fans are actually able to own for, you know, $250 or whatever. They can only do it every so often. They haven't had a stock sale in a long time now, number of years since they expanded part of their stadium.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
But they don't have, you know, the next best thing to having the Roonies as your owner is to not have an owner at all. And you've seen, obviously, with the Steelers, what stability they have had there for so long with, you know, first Chuck Knoll and then with Bill Cowher. And, you know, we've obviously there's been some ups and downs during Mike Tomlin's tenure, but, you know, there's just this, they're never that team in either the Packers case or the Steelers case where you look at them going, God, they don't seem like they know what they're doing. You know, it just isn't the case anymore. With most other teams, there's always those years where you're like, God, what are they doing? And do they have a plan? And, you know, even now you look at the Steelers and the season that they've endured and the things they've done at quarterback and the fact that they're still in contention, I think says a lot. The Packers weren't able to do that when they lost Aaron Rodgers
No.
in 2013 and again in 2017. So, you know, that's one way that this franchise obviously has been very fortunate, that there have been very few times where they've had either Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers not available to them to lead them to a lot of victories.
We have the duck. Come on now, Jason. That's why. The duck. You're going to – I brought up with the author of the Browns, Zach. I said to him, I predicted this before. I said, he's going to be a good quarterback. And it's not going to be Mason Rudolph. So we have the duck. Spurgis loves the duck. I guess if he wins another game, they're going to already get ready to name a street after him. But again, we'll see how long that love of the duck goes. But let's go. You didn't have a great backup when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So how many years of the Packers do you cover in this book?
So we cover them from their inception to modern day. And obviously it's hard to narrow 100 years of football into 50 chapters. And so my good buddy Drew Olson wrote the more historic chapters. And I focused on the nearly quarter century of time I'd covered the team for my chapters. And, you know, my favorite story that has come out of doing the book, Ron Wolf was the Packers general manager who rebuilt this franchise and brought them back from oblivion and traded for Brett Favre and signed Reggie White and hired Mike Holmgren. And he and I got together and he was here in town a couple weeks ago. And he said, I've got a bone to pick with you. I'm like, what? There's a Pro Football Hall of Famer that's telling you he's got a bone to pick with you. He's like, how do you pick Super Bowl 45 as the number one thing in your book? Well, first of all, I was really excited that he actually even looked at our book. But more importantly, I had to explain to him, it's not a ranking. So there's 50 chapters, but that's the most recent triumph that they had.
It's not the most important things, right?
It was just most recent. So after that, he calmed down and he didn't have a bone to pick with me anymore.
So that's not, you know, 100 things. You know, the 100 things live and die Packers. Then that definitely wouldn't have been number one, right?
Like they, no, I think there's just so much to get to it. Frankly, we could have done 3 books of 50 things and still had stuff left over.
Writing the book on your end, looking at specifically the Packers, what did you do in your research to try to figure out what's the best things to fit in when there's just so many great memories the Packers have?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was obviously a challenge to narrow it down. The nice thing for me anyway is because of my career arc, I was here for so many of those moments. And, you know, I wasn't there obviously for the Lombardi years. I wasn't even alive yet for most of them. But the fact that I covered most of the things that I write about in the book it really did make things kind of easy for me, because from a research perspective, yeah, I went back and read my stories and read other people's stories and refreshed my memory. But I lived through most of the parts that I wrote about. So I was really fortunate in that. I was able to think back to what I was thinking about back then when those things were happening, and have that perspective of having lived through them.
You definitely had that, and that's the interesting thing. When I think of Green Bay Packers, I think Brett Favre. You just think one of the gunslingers. How amazing was it to watch him play?
Yeah, it was really incredible, and it's hard to believe that a franchise like the Packers have been able to have 2 back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks in him and Rodgers. It's just funny because they're just such different guys. I mean, Favre used it. He was a gunslinger. He took so many chances, and not only did he retire at the time with the most touchdown passes in NFL history, he also retired with the most interceptions in NFL history. Whereas Rodgers, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer also, and he's going to go in with almost assuredly with the best touchdown to interception ratio in NFL history, because he's going to have so few interceptions. They're just vastly different guys, and yet they were both great in their own right. And I think, you know, obviously for Rodgers, it's kind of like with Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf, you know, it's different when you continue a tradition as opposed to when you restore a tradition. And obviously Wolf and Holmgren and White and Favre were responsible for restoring a tradition that had become so tarnished over almost three decades that it's just a lot different than what it is with what Aaron Rodgers has done in recent years.
the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in comebacks. You think of, you know, Brett Favre, the gunslinger, taking the chances, but then you think of Aaron Rodgers as the Hail Mary, the guy that just pulls stuff out you wouldn't imagine. And you wouldn't think that coming out of college he would be this kind of quarterback, the one that you want with 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, and there was a time in his career where he wasn't that guy. You know, he didn't have a lot of come-from-behind victories, and people questioned that. And, you know, I always said that during those really, his MVP seasons, he had a lot of game-winning drives. They just happened in the third quarter where they put teams away early, you know, 2011 when they went 15-1. And so, you know, they are definitely different. It's crazy that they are now good friends after the craziness of the summer of 2008, which obviously is a significant chapter in the book as well. And so it's been truly my pleasure and honor to get to cover both of them and watch up close firsthand two great quarterbacks in the same organization. I assume it's what it was like for guys in the 80s and 90s that got to cover Joe Montana and then got to cover Steve Young.
And let's talk about what happened. I don't know what happened because I'm in Pittsburgh. You know, sometimes they'll tell us the story between you put in the book about Favre and Rodgers and their fallout or how they didn't get along.
Yeah, they definitely did not. You know, Rodgers was probably a little brash and a little arrogant as a first-round pick and was certainly humbled by the way his first 3 years were spent on the bench. But Brett Favre was not a very good mentor to him. And I think Brett has since admitted that on a number of occasions. And so, you know, now they're in a great place, which is wonderful. But they definitely were rivals. And that the summer of 2008 when, you know, I'll never forget, they had a family night scrimmage, which is basically a pep rally. And we talk about it in the book. A pep rally and a celebration of being a Packers fan. They charge $10 admission and they have fireworks and it's just it's just meant to be a night to celebrate being Packers fans, and people that don't get to go to games because they can't afford them can afford the $10 ticket to watch a practice. And I'll never forget Brett Favre comes in that day, flies in, and they're going to finally resolve his situation. And Packers fans booed Aaron Rodgers during a family night scrimmage. And he says, even to this day, as he travels to family night every year, when he drives from his house to go to family night for practice, he thinks about that and how it spurred him on and what it was like to be booed by your own fans. And, you know, I know there's a lot of fans that after the fact can now acknowledge what a huge mistake that was and how thankful they are that Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback.
And what a quarterback, and for sure, and continue to be a quarterback. And then, but I guess everyone, if you know, you're a Favre fan, you thought the Packers are done, right? Last year, McCarthy leaves. You're not going to make a comeback and have a good season. What the heck? And I know that's not in the book, but it's great for sales, right? they're not 3-9 and doing horribly. They're really doing well. That's got to be great for you with the book coming out instead of what if it was a mediocre year?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not a mediocre book, but it definitely has not been a mediocre year, and that's been great. You know, I don't know much about sales. I let the great people at Triumph handle that kind of stuff. But I will say this. It has been a fascinating year to see because, you know, I think what people are probably forgetting as they look at the Packers now, who are 9-3 going into their game against Washington, no rookie Packers head coach has ever taken his team to the playoffs ever. 100-year team, and Lombardi didn't do it, Holmgren didn't do it, McCarthy didn't do it, and all three of those guys won Super Bowls. And so I think that tells you how rarefied the air is that Matt LaFleur is in his first year.
Matt LaFleur is not in the book, is he?
I believe he is mentioned only because we finished the book after Mike McCarthy was fired and after Matt LaFleur was hired. But, it takes a while for those books to hit the bookshelf. So, quite frankly, I can't quite remember what the timeline is for when I had to file my last chapter.
I said, what happens with me is I don't have a chance to watch books. I just stream different things, different films, different things. I wish I had time to read all the books of the authors I read. I just have good knowledge of different things. Say, hey, it was in the book, and it's good for the fans. Now let's talk about Matt LaFleur. You cover the Packers. Were you surprised how quickly they turned it around with this coach?
Not entirely. I thought they would go 10-6 and make the playoffs, and he would break that streak. I did not think they would be as good as they have turned out to be, certainly. But look, they have Aaron Rodgers. They have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and while.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.